You can have all the Explorations Early Learning Upstairs Studio podcast with our new app. Just search your app store, Apple, Android, Kindle. We don't care what you use. Search the app store for Explorations Early Learning. Download the app. Give it a try.
Welcome to Q&A with T&K. They've surfed the interwebs. They've contemplated, ruminated, and speculated. They've checked the teletype, and now they're ready to answer your questions. Here are your hosts, Tiffany and Kristen.
Hello, and welcome to Q&A with T&K. I'm Tiffany.
And I'm Kristen.
And hello from Upstairs Studios.
Yes, we're at the actual Upstairs Studios. How cool is that?
Yeah. We keep saying it's cool because for us, this is still the first day.
Yeah.
I know that it probably seems like we have lived in Jeff and Dasha's house.
For a month.
For a whole month.
Yes.
But it is still day one for us. We're just recording a lot in one day.
And I'm using Lisa Murphy's mic.
And I'm using Jeff Johnson's mic.
Whoa.
Does that mean I need to be a little more critical?
Maybe.
That's not what Lisa sounds like.
Oh.
You're Lisa.
Oh, I'm sorry. So we need to have our, the cusp of research on the cusp of our wrist. I don't even know. The pulse.
The pulse. That's great. I don't know how I feel about that.
I love you guys.
We love you both so much.
We do. We look up to you.
I really wouldn't be the educator I am today without either
Neither
of them.
Neither would I. We should probably do a whole episode based on that sometime. Yeah. Just our experience and like why Jeff and Lisa are huge.
Yeah.
Huge for us.
Yeah.
So that's the next one. All right,
we should do American Idol series where we just like talk about people we love and respect.
I think that's a great idea. Okay.
Okay.
But today's question
is...
It's from Jeff. Jeff gave us this question. The question is, sorry, I cut you off.
I was going to say, do we make up somebody who this is from? Or do we get to say it's from Jeff?
It's from Jeff.
Jeff wants to know, what's the deal with transition times and how do we reduce friction?
All right. Well, our first initial is don't have so many freaking transition times.
Yeah, man.
Let's define transition times first.
Yeah. For those of you who maybe are parents.
Right.
And don't think about this in the same way that teachers do.
Yeah.
Transition time is when you're switching or transitioning, as they say, between mm-hmm. two activities.
Yeah. Moving from one into the next.
Yeah. So maybe that's moving from playtime to lunchtime. Moving spaces is a transition.
Yes.
Anytime you have to circle up and... Or I guess rally the troops would be another.
Right, rally the troops.
Rallying the
Switch
troops.
From one thing to the next because you're moving on with the day.
Yeah.
So.
And this happens all the time at home too.
Yeah.
Anytime you change gears, shifting gears.
I almost wonder if I should think about transition time at home how I do at school and try not to have so many transitions. But when we do, make it more of a loud presence.
Yeah.
And maybe my kids would listen more at home. Yeah. I don't know. But you don't necessarily want your transition times to be loud presences.
Yes.
Because that's friction. That causes friction then.
Yeah.
So.
And when we say friction, what does that look like?
For me, friction would mean children kind of pushing against that and not wanting to move on to the next activity.
Yeah. Where you're like, okay, now we're going to read a story. And they're all like.
Right. And some kids are like, we just read a story. Like, we read 14 stories on the couch over there.
Yeah.
I don't want to listen to a story at circle time now because I have just gotten done reading stories.
Yeah.
So for my program, we transition after an hour and a half to 2 hours of play time. Just play. We transition then to clean up. So the transition to clean up is... ring like a metallophone, the bells, and mm-hmm. say 5 minutes to clean up,
mm-hmm.
announce it so they know it's coming. That's one way to reduce friction. Mm-hmm. Maybe announce that a change is happening before it actually has to happen so they're prepared for it. And then it's after 5 minutes, I sing a song. It goes, should I sing it? I think I have done this one before. It's everybody find a seat, find a seat, find a seat. Everybody find a seat on the floor. Not on the ceiling, not on the door. Sit on the big rug on the floor. Or sit on something yellow on the floor. Or
nice.
Sit on a green leaf on the floor. Whatever you want to change it to. Yeah. And they all come together and then we kind of say, if, and it's different every day. It's, if you're five, you're going to clean up over there with Teacher Cece. If you're three or four, you're going to clean up over here with me. And then it's kind of just a race to see who can get.
Yeah. Everything put away.
Everything put away. And then we do a circle time. We split into two groups. And we transition from cleanup time to circle time by another little song. It goes running, 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 hop, 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 tiptoe, 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 tiptoe. Then we stop and aww, we drop. And then they know that it's now we're circling up for something.
Yeah. Yeah.
Then the next transition, we do a lot of transitions now that I'm going through them.
Yeah, because each, you can't just play and then circle time.
Right.
There are infinite pieces of things in between them.
Exactly. There's the transition and the prep for the transition. And I think one way to get rid of some of that friction or take the friction out of transition time is to make it, we sing the same song all year long.
Yeah.
We don't change it. And yes, it's boring maybe to not learn a different song for that transition, but, and then using the same songs or finger plays or words or sounds for that certain transition and not for any other transitions maybe.
Yeah.
Or using the same sound for every single transition so they know that there's something coming next. So then from like our little group times, we transition to snack, and how we do that is it's always like a little check for understanding. So it could be, you may wash your hands if you are wearing something red, and just seeing if they can figure out what red is. If you're wearing something that has pockets, you may wash your hands. Or it could be something like, a dice, like you roll a die and count the spots and tell me how many spots are on that side, and then you may go wash your hands. So that's the kind of transition we do for leaving for snack. And then as soon as they're done with snack, they know the next transition is to get ready to go outside. And then we go outside and play.
Excellent.
Yeah.
That sounds a lot like our morning.
Yeah. So I don't know. I don't know if that's a lot of transition or if that's not a lot of transition, but it works well for us.
I think that it's, on the grand scheme of things, I think that it's not a lot of transitions because when you think about what a lot of transitions looks like, that's not somebody dissecting the parts of cleanup. That's somebody saying we play for 5 minutes.
Yes.
Until everybody gets here, and then we have circle time, then we have calendar, and then we have an activity at the table, and then we read a story, and then we go outside for 15 minutes, and then we come in and have snack. Oh, but we forgot to wash our hands. And then after that, we do another activity, and then we go to the gym for 10 minutes for PE, and then, oh, I forgot we also have music today.
Exhausting.
I'm exhausted just saying that out loud.
I am too, but, you know, the program that I worked at before, my program Butterfly Hill, that's what it was. There were so many teacher-planned activities. And there wasn't a lot of choice by the children if they participated in those activities. And the activities were so short.
That nobody ever actually participated in any of them.
Or participated, but not fully participated. Just went through the movements to get through to the next thing.
Yeah.
So I think that taking a step back and really looking at what a developmentally appropriate day would look like.
Yes. And can I mention here, developmentally appropriate doesn't mean everything has to be short and goldfish attention span.
Right.
I talked to the high school teachers in Corbett basically about this, about how to make routines and procedures less hard.
Right.
And the principal, the high school principal, said, well, you must do this all the time because your kids can't focus for very long. And I said, hold the phone. What?
Back it up.
My kids can focus for an hour uninterrupted on a task of their own choosing. What do you mean?
Right.
And the whole room just went. All these high school teachers had never thought about it. And as a high school teacher, I feel like you probably go through so many transitions. You have 7 periods a day.
Yes.
You have 45 minutes to get everything done that you need to get done, which is a whole separate conversation.
Oh my gosh. But can you, like, how exhausting would that be to be a teacher that has this, you teach the same thing 7 times and you feel like you have to get so much information into that 45 minute or 50 minute time period.
Yeah.
That, and then, oh, that just would be stressful. But that's what it feels like in some early childhood programs that are very structured, and this is the daily schedule on the wall, and we need to move on to the next scheduled, structured, teacher-directed activity, even though you may not be ready for it. And that is when children they struggle with transition times, is when they're not ready to move on because they're very engaged in what they're doing. But because we have a schedule to adhere to, and we've promised these parents a structured environment, and that's what they are assuming a structured, that's what they're assuming their child is doing, that you feel like you need to compartmentalize the day in that way.
Yeah.
According to the schedule on the wall.
Ugh. We have a schedule on the wall, but it says things like play.
Right.
Clean up. Eat.
Eat.
Go outside.
Yes.
Play.
Yes. So there's not,
because I think predictability is also part of making the transitions easier.
Exactly.
But that doesn't mean.
And the predictability comes through that, through that schedule on the wall that they can see, or the routine. I don't know. I wouldn't call it a schedule. It's a routine on the wall. Do you have times attached to those things?
No.
So it's a routine.
Do we? No.
No. Some.
And most of the time, the people who use that schedule are new adults in the room.
Right.
You have a sub that's never been in the room before.
Totally.
They look at it.
Right.
And then if they panic because it's 10:20 and we went outside 15 minutes early, then I know not to call them back.
So the predictability with the transition songs that you keep the same, and the little cues, like the bells that we use, or teacher Julie uses a duck call because we're a nature-based program, and it's kind of fun to just, or a turkey call.
Yeah.
Sometimes I have a turkey call and whip it around. And
how do you make a turkey noise?
Well, there's a certain.
There are like 2 ways of making a turkey noise with your mouth. How do you do it?
Oh, I don't know.
Make it for us?
I would go. How would you do it?
Well, there's the like. The up and down tongue. Oh, there's a good one.
Oh.
There are so many ways. Well, I've also seen in like some weird Scandinavian movies where you go side to side with your tongue.
Oh.
I can't even do it that fast.
So wild turkeys, though, wild turkeys make more of a sound.
No.
It's not even a gobble. It's a. Because we have them by our house.
Yeah. I don't know if I've ever heard our turkey talk.
Yeah.
She eats a lot and she's like, boo.
What turkey?
Butterball. She lives in my parents' house.
Oh, I was like, do you really have a turkey? Like in your program?
Wouldn't that be fun? Oh, that would be cool.
That would be cool to have a turkey. Anyhow, those cues, those.
We flash the lights. I like to have a visual cue too.
Yeah.
And we do a freeze, please, hands in the air, and everybody freezes. And then I'll say like, freeze your belly buttons. Freeze your eyelids, and every time it's different things, so they have to like go. You know.
Yeah.
Keep it funny.
Totally.
And I do that 5 minutes before we do anything to be like, okay, we're going to have to do something in 5 minutes.
Yeah. So, okay, as a listener, if you're listening in on this and you feel a little bit stressed because every day, because of the schedule or the routine that you're following, and it seems like you end the day and you're exhausted because you're constantly trying to keep up with the schedule or move on to the next thing and not ever having enough time to finish the one thing, I think like a baby step would be to take a step back and say, are we playing enough? Are we giving the children time and creating an environment where they can make their own choices for a long period of time?
Mm-hmm.
There was a study done, and I should probably look up to see exactly what the study was, but it was a study about playtime in early childhood programs, and the study kind of watched to see how long it takes children to become engaged in that really true nitty-gritty, like down and dirty actual play.
Deep play. Yeah.
And so they followed kids into the program, and they spent the first 15 minutes window shopping. So it was checking out everything around the room, trying to decide where to be. So check out the easel, see what's there to paint with, then move to the sensory table to see what new thing was put into the sensory table. Walk over to the block area to see which group of friends decided to congregate in the block area that morning. Check out the book the teacher's reading on the couch in the library or the, you know, the cozy corner, whatever you call it in your program. Heading over to the dramatic play area to see who's dressing up. Is the costume that I generally wear here? If it's not, I'm going to move on to the next thing. So it's this window shopping that happens after about 15 minutes, 20 minutes. They finally settle into something that they decide would be important to them at that point in time. So if it's small world play at a table with Play-Doh and sea animals.
It's like they're finally, they've decided what they're going to do.
Yes, and so then there's other kids there, and there's somebody hoarding all the sharks. So they have to like figure out, oh, I really want to play with this, but the sharks are what was important to me.
Even though they're not mammals.
Right. Yeah. And they, I corrected myself. I said sea animals after that.
I'm just being snarky.
I know.
Maybe sharky.
That was a good one. So then, you know, that there's that bargaining piece and there's the conversation that has to be had and the teacher, they won't give me any sharks and they have like a lot. And then, you know,
well,
trying
to figure.
How many
sharks do you need, Kristen?
Well, I'm pretty sure we have, there's at least 10 sharks in the sea animal. Oh, yeah.
No, that was my like immediate, I can't even help myself.
I know, how many
they
sharks
They have all the
need?
Sharks. Well, how many sharks do you need?
Yes.
Just one? It's amazing how immediately somebody just hands them a shark. Like, if I hand you this shark, you'll shut up? Great.
Get the teacher away from here because I want to play. So that it takes another 10, 15 minutes to kind of get focused into that activity. And once they're finally focused and organized within it, they can play. And that is when the learning happens. So not to say that that social piece of like the bargaining and figuring out, you know, how to organize themselves within that group and that play situation, that is learning too. But there's even more deeper learning that happens once they get past that. So,
and if you've been tracking the math, we're at the 30-minute mark right now.
We are.
And we have not started playing.
Yet. So just extend your playtime beyond 45 minutes, beyond an hour.
Yeah.
Ours goes for 2 full hours.
That's amazing.
2 whole hours. And, you know, we're toying around with the open snack idea because kids get hungry.
At different times.
Yeah.
That would be my first, if you're deciding, oh, maybe there is a problem with how, like, a lot of the behavioral issues I'm seeing are based on transitions.
Yes.
Make a little tally. Keep around a little post-it note all day. How many times kids... I don't want to say have an emotional outburst, but how many times there's backlash
or resistance.
Resistance. And that doesn't have to be saying like, I don't want to stop playing. It means like taking 45 minutes to walk to the soap to wash your hands for snack, which you're not hungry for because you got here 10 minutes ago.
Or taking, you know, wandering aimlessly during cleanup time because they're just not excited about moving on to the next thing.
Keep track of how many kids are not engaged during those transitions.
Yeah.
Because if it's a truly good transition, the kids are there with you and they're like, yeah, we are hungry. Like, mm-hmm. I'm going to clean up this table so I can eat at it because I'm hungry.
Definitely. So, I don't know where that was wrapping around to.
I don't remember either. We're good at this sometimes.
So good. So, I think what I was trying to say is that a baby step would be to look at how many teacher-directed activities you have throughout the day and maybe cut one out.
Yeah.
If you do a table time that is not during play time or free choice time, if you do a table time where there's like games and worksheets to choose from at the tables, maybe cut that out.
Yeah.
Have those things available during playtime.
I love it when people cut that teacher-directed time out and then make it part of the playtime.
Yeah.
So let's extend playtime by 30 minutes.
And then let the children have a choice.
And
if
then
they
put it
out
at a table. And then watch how maybe one kid all day goes to that table.
Mm-hmm.
Because they can learn the same thing in a much more engaging, appropriate way by doing it themselves while they play.
Exactly. So I know that the program that I worked at before I started ours, for some reason, we had to do like centers. So the children had like, you know, 10 minutes at each center for center time.
Oh my gosh. And I have never seen bigger fits than timed.
Oh, it's horrible.
Time centers.
And then you move to the next one before you're ready. And then when you get there and you're like counting red pom-poms onto a cutout tree because they're apples.
So
and you have to like, there's a number on the tree trunk. And you have to take a tweezer and put 8 pom-poms, count them onto the tree. So they have, like, apples on the tree. And then you do it with the next one. That's the number 4 on the trunk of the tree. And you have to put 4 up. I mean, how freaking boring.
Yeah.
Who wants to do that? Instead, this is an instead. If you really feel like it's that important to have them count red pom-poms onto something... Oh, let's see. Get some flubber.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm thinking I'm correlating apples to fall, and fall is Halloweenish. Flubber, and put 50 black spiders in the flubber, or 100 eyeballs, googly eyes. Put it in the flubber, set it on the table, and watch all the counting that happens.
Yes.
And the more and the less, and we have the same amount, and I have. Let's count them. And the one-to-one correspondence of the counting that happens because there's this humongous collection of something in a really cool substance.
And they have to figure out that sensory experience of getting it out. They have to figure out how to remove it from this growth. That sounds awesome.
And
you wouldn't have to force a single kid to do it.
No, everybody wants to do it. Another thing,
that situation too, if a kid is like, ew, oh, I don't want to do that. You instantly feel like, oh, yeah, I won't make you do that.
Right.
But we never give that same response if a kid says, no, I don't want to do this because it's boring. We're always like, well, life can be boring sometimes and should
just
learn how
to
deal with it.
Oh,
like you wouldn't force
barf.
A kid to rub their hand in something gross because they need to deal with that experience.
Right.
And if you do, you're a terrible person.
Man. So baby step is what we'd really like you to do if you're in a program that feels that stress of moving to the next activity before everybody's ready and you feel it as a teacher and you can sense that the kids are feeling that is look at the schedule, the routine, and cut something out completely and try to add it in somewhere else. So if that's the table time, make it part of the playtime. If it's the activities that you have planned for circle time, take some of that out.
Do them outside.
Playtime. Yes, do them outside.
I love doing circle time stuff outside where we're just sitting. A couple kids always just want to sit and watch for a while. And then we start singing some songs.
Yes. And then
telling stories. And suddenly everybody comes
over. Yeah.
You've got like 3 kids hanging on to your hair like, oh, what are you doing?
Yes.
I know. Let's sing the duck song next. Like suddenly it's a fully engaging experience, you know?
Definitely. I like that. I might have to try that.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
What are other baby steps? Oh, let's talk about transition times at home.
Okay.
Because I think that teachers that are good at transition times are really good at transition times. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot to be learned for home transition times.
Yeah.
Just because when you have 24-year-olds, you have to do it a certain way or it doesn't happen.
It doesn't.
But when you have 1 4-year-old, I guess we know.
Yeah. I think, like, as a parent of 4, I still give cute, like, I give the 5-minute warning before you brush your teeth.
Yeah.
And one of my children in particular needs these cues more so than the other ones because he's just, transition times are a lot more difficult for him. He's 8. And it's still super difficult to, like, okay, we're going to shut the TV off in 5 minutes. And then we're moving on to the next thing. Or you have 5 minutes left of Minecraft, and then we're moving to this. And then labeling what we're moving to so that he knows what to expect. That's something that I use with him specifically at home.
Yeah.
And it helps.
I can't tell you how many times I wish parents did that when they were hanging out after school. That is a pet peeve of, I watch it happen every day. The fit happens every day. And it's purely because you didn't tell him, like, oh, we're going to go in 5 minutes, finish up.
Yes.
Or even just ask him, like, does 5 minutes sound good? Do you want to do 5 or 10 minutes?
Right. So do your kids have a kind of a choice when they leave at the end of the day? Or is there a set time where the day is done?
The day is done at 3, but sometimes we have parents that linger for a while and their kids are having fun, so they hang out, which is fine.
Yeah.
What's not fine to me is the explosion.
Yes.
Because the parent isn't helping this transition.
Yes.
They're not doing anything to help themselves. They're not doing anything to teach their kid about how to have a healthy transition at the end of the day. Mm-hmm. They just are chatty and chatting with their friends. And the kids are, you know, that feeling of, yep, being a kid, like, oh, mom's talking. I get to keep playing. Mm-hmm. But then all of a sudden it's like, all right, we're going to go. It's time to go. And the kid's just like, no, because they didn't have any warning. Mm-hmm. It's unpredictable every day. For some reason, mom gets to show up and talk to her friends for 20 minutes, but I don't get to finish what I'm doing.
Right.
It's so confusing and so frustrating to watch happen.
Definitely.
So parents, just negotiate the warning. That. Negotiate it before, too. Right. It's the end of the day. Make your kid stop and say, like, look, school is over. Yes. I'm going to talk to Jane over here, mm-hmm, for about 20 minutes or so. Do you want to keep playing for that time? Right. Yes? I'll give you a 5-minute warning when we're, mm-hmm, about to go.
Right.
That would be so nice. That I'd love it so if kids nice. Could do that to parents too.
Wouldn't it?
Would it be nice?
In about 5 minutes, I'm going to have a meltdown, mom, all right?
Or even okay. more like, hey, mom, can you hang? I'm going to need to play for an extra 5 minutes.
Yeah.
Their concept of time is so funny, too, that it's like,
tell us what they need more.
I love it when we negotiate timings at school of, like, when do you think you'll be done with that toy? Because it looks like he really wants to use it. Uh-huh. And then the adult says, would 5 minutes be enough? No. 2.
Yes.
Cool. 2 sounds great.
I love that.
That's, I'd love it really if that worked both ways.
Wouldn't that be nice?
That'd be so nice.
So I think that it all wraps up with, transition. Just do less. Do less transitions. Yeah. Give a little bit of a warning.
Yeah.
And let the children make lots of choices and let them play.
Yes.
All right.
Yeah.
What would you do?
Okay, Kristen, you have a Linger family that just loves to hang. Say goodbye to everybody. They've been here for 40 minutes just chatting. And, like, if their kid's at school, they can keep playing. And then the mom and dad don't have to entertain them at home.
Yeah.
It's particularly a chatty dad.
Yes.
And you've noticed a pattern of every day that dad picks up. The bathrooms have already been cleaned. He's the last person to leave. And he pees on the floor every day.
The dad.
Not like a full puddle.
Right, but it's like a little sprinkle from shaking.
Yeah.
Okay.
But it's clear that there's pee on the floor.
Yes.
Enough that you then have to clean it up every day. Mm. What would you do?
What would I do? I think I would clean it up and, like, make it. I mean, I think what it would end up becoming is a laughing matter between the staff that's there after he leaves. Like, oh, he did it again, guys. Who's next? Who gets to do it this time? I don't think it would ever be something that I would feel comfortable approaching him about. I wouldn't.
You'd clean up grown-up pee?
I would clean up grown-up pee.
Multiple times.
Multiple times. I would. And then at some point, I may put a sign up that says, if you sprinkle when you tingle, please be a sweetie and wipe the CD. And then just see if he'll clean it up.
That's like, did you just, that rhyme just flowed from your tongue.
That's a thing. That's a rhyme. My grandmother had it above her toilet when I was little. Yes. It's a thing. So that's what I would do. I'd clean up grown-up pee.
Wow.
But I would also be very annoyed that he stays for 40 minutes after everybody else is gone and we've already cleaned everything up. That would not happen. So it would be...
You'd set a limit on him before that?
I would. Yeah. Yep.
Setting limits on grown-ups is hard.
It's very hard. And it's not something that I like to do. But I have a really good employee who's very good at... She's not afraid to, like, all right, she'll, like, usher the kids out. Like, it'll be, okay, guys, we've already cleaned up the room. It's time to go. And make it known that it's time to go. And we've already cleaned everything. And so we don't want your child running around right now because that's our prep time. Like, our prep time is at 3 o'clock when the day is over. And we don't, yes, we'd love to stand and have conversation with you, but not for 40 minutes. Like, 15 minutes is okay. And if we need to have a conversation about anything that's related to your child, then let's do that. Let's set a time for that.
Yeah.
Because single day after school is not okay.
I like that the 40 minutes is what got you, not the grown man piddling on your floor every day.
I know, the 40-minute lingerer is what made me mad, not the pee on the floor.
Mm-hmm. Well, Kristen.
Well, Tiffany.
It's been fun.
See you next time on Q&A with T and K.
This has been Q&A with T and K. Thank you for listening. From serious to silly, Tiffany and Kristen are eager to answer your questions. Just email them to q4tnk@gmail.com. That's q4tandk@gmail.com. We'll be back next week with another episode. Music by Kurt Pearsall. Tiffany's sweet, sweet hubby.
This has been an Explorations Early Learning Upstairs Studio production.
Oh.
Hey, you want to support all the Upstairs Studio podcasts? It's as simple as this. Use our Amazon link when you shop Amazon. We get a small percentage of what you spend. You don't pay any extra. You get your stuff from Amazon. Everybody wins. Where do you find the link? Well, it's on the Explorations Early Learning app. You can find it on the Explorations Early Learning website. And if you don't find it in those places, just get a hold of Jeff on Facebook or via email, and he'll hand deliver it to your inbox. Thanks for your support. Bye-bye.